It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This week in Underdogs, we've got the hot stove in baseball, hot trends in the NFL.
And hot damn, Peter's back.
The cry goes up both far and near for Underdog. Underdog.
Countdown going on right now. Morrow, up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
By George, the dream is alive.
Underdog.
And I guess there's only one thing left to do. Win the whole fucking thing.
Welcome back to the Underdogs. And not just welcome back to you, dear listener, but I'm Jordan Brenner, and I'd like to welcome back my co-host, Peter Keating. Peter, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And is this sort of the highlight of your past couple weeks being back on the show?
This is definitely the highlight. And Jordan, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you to you and to Sarah for covering for me. Had a little health scare. I'm back. I'm feeling good. Ready to dive back into all of the exciting things we talk about. So back to the Underdog season, Jordan. Thanks. And I think that I think I didn't even do too badly during the Underdogs contest, which we'll talk about in a little while, even though I missed the last two shows because you guys were nice enough to cover for me. So I appreciate that.
We, as Peter mentions, we have a fun week of picks coming up in the Underdogs NFL contest. But first, there's a lot going on in sports right now, but it's baseball hot stove season, or it's kicking off. And if you're like me, you find the process of team building to be as entertaining, if not more entertaining, than the actual playing of the game. So I get geeked out for free agency in every sport. Baseball is a little weird. It used to be the king of hot stove of off-season moves, and now it moves sort of slowly. It's more of a drip than the flood of NBA signings around July 1st or NFL signings right when free agency opens. But there's a lot to look at. Peter, is this your favorite time of year for baseball?
This is so great. And I think that one of the reasons we're talking about it now, here it is before Thanksgiving, is that I think there are going to be more free agency signings and more activity and the hot stove before New Year's this year, because we have the greatest free agent maybe of all time, Shohei Ohtani, but behind him, the class isn't as strong as it was last year. I mean, maybe this year's top 50 players are as good as last year's top 20 or 30, which means I think we're going to see fewer extensions, right? Extensions slowed the market last year because teams were locking up really, really good and great young players before they signed them as free agents. I don't think that's going to happen that much. And I think that means we're going to have some accelerated deal making, or at least a few signings.
So let's get into it. And here's how I want to look at it. Look, we are the underdog. So we're going to look at sort of under the radar moves. This is an interesting class. A lot of pitching, not a lot of hitting, at least at the surface level. So, Peter, let's dive in first to maybe some targets who aren't getting the most attention, who we like for any team. And then we're going to talk about two of our favorite underdog teams from last year and what they can do to take the next step with a couple other under-the-radar signings. But Peter, you go first. Who's a guy right now that you think teams should be all over that maybe is falling under the radar?
So we're not looking at your Blake Snells, your Aaron Nolas, even your Eduardo Rodriguez, who we both like a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Not even looking at Rhys Hoskins, right? We're looking below who's swimming in the pond below that level, right? Because even though there aren't a lot of great hitters, there's a lot of right-handed power. And I think we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big question, which right-handed power hitter do you think is the best of class for the money you can spend? But I'm looking a different way, Jordan. I'm looking at the best player to come over from Korea next year. It's a guy named Lee Hyun-koo. And the interesting thing, first of all, he has the greatest nickname of anybody in this free agent class. He is known as the grandson of the wind because his father, the great Korean baseball organization shortstop, he inherited that name. He was the son of the wind. This guy is a really good center fielder. And if you look at what teams that made the playoffs did last year to kind of get really good value, if you look at their where they got excellent value, you'll see players like Michael A. Taylor, Leody Taveras, Alec Thomas, a lot of the teams that were really successful, especially unexpectedly last year, saved money elsewhere and invested in center field defense. Okay.
Well, hold on. That's a little triggering for me because the Yankees tried to do the same with Harrison Bader, and that sure as hell didn't work.
Well, Bader's an interesting case because his bat just fell apart. But
and he can't stay healthy, but yeah.
And he was injured all the time.
Yeah.
But they tried to do it. It's an interesting example of the Yankees trying to do something that, you know, last year I didn't think the Bader for Montgomery trade was all that bad.
No, I didn't think it was terrible either. It worked out. Yeah.
That's where they needed help. And of course, Bader's again a free agent right now, and the Yankees are probably going to miss out on his good years before and after they had him, right? That's kind of terrible luck. The interesting about Lee is that he has some power. He walks twice as often as he strikes out. Baseball Prospectus has, if you look him up, has a great picture of him getting a hit while he's trying to avoid getting hit by a pitch because he just has this great bat control.
And so what's the type of team where he could fit?
Well, he'd actually be an interesting point for the Yankees or the Blue Jays or the White Sox, someplace where we've been missing outfield defense. He's also about 5 years younger than most of the free agents who are similar to him in this group. So I think he's an interesting, you know, he's an interesting defense first, but a lot of upside elsewhere guy. Lee Jung-hoo.
Two hitters caught my eye, Peter. One is straddling the line between bigger fish and smaller fish, but Teoscar Hernandez stands out just because there are so few impact bats in this market that he actually has the chance to be a middle of the order difference maker. He'd look great in Boston. The Dodgers are supposedly interested. His home away splits last year are staggering. He was in Seattle, which is not a hitter's park, 217, 263, 380. Terrible. On the road, 295, 344, 486. So a team with actual money to spend could do a lot worse than going after Teoscar Hernandez. A team without as much money to
spend. Well, hold on a minute. So you like Hernandez, because the road stats really caught my eye too.
Yep.
Is that what pushes Hernandez above, let's say, Jorge Soler or Lourdes Gurriel, similar class of players? You put him at the top of that group?
Yeah, I think he's more of a difference maker, certainly than Gurriel, who's like a contributing guy. The other really interesting guy that I think a sort of mid-level team could get on a one-year prove-it contract is Tim Anderson. He was the worst hitter in baseball last year. Literally, his WRC plus of 60 was the worst of qualified players in baseball. But let's not forget he hit 301 just 2 years ago, his fourth straight year over 300. Obviously, his power has dropped, but it'll only be 31 in June. He was bad last year, but also a bit lucky. And if you start to suss out the numbers, like his hard hit percentage is actually better than when he hit 335 and 219. He got lucky during his best years, but there was sort of a big, big regression last year. He's not a 330 hitter, but can he be a 280, 290 guy with decent power, gets on base? I think so. He's willing to play second base now. So if you can get him, you know, sub-market value 1 year, if you're even like a Pittsburgh type team who, you know, there's big upside there. And it sort of, we'll get back to this on pitching in a minute, but I'm sort of a believer for teams that don't have a lot of money to spend, take a bigger swing, higher risk, higher reward underdog strategy.
Well, now for years, when he was at his peak, a lot of analysts were saying he's doing things no one else is doing, Anderson, and something's got to catch up with him. You think the underlying data, there's more than, because he's a great guy and he's a fun player and he's at the heart of his team, but is there more than hope in the underlying data? You think the hard hit data suggests that it's not just that everything caught up with him all at once?
I don't see how everything can catch up with someone at once to make that drastic a shift from a 4 year run of success to being the worst hitter in baseball. There's got to be a middle ground here. And whatever the middle ground is between peak Tim Anderson and last year's Tim Anderson can help a lot of teams. Peter, pitching. Is there anybody, you know, and we'll use that as a way to segue into one of our underdog teams, but who do you have your eye on first? And then I'll play matchmaker there.
Jordan, again, I think that if you look at last year's playoff teams, you see something interesting and a sign of success. Last year's playoff teams, particularly Baltimore and Texas, hoarded kind of middling quality, but high volume pitching. The kind of guys that when they got to the playoffs, maybe a guy was going to start game three. Maybe a guy was going to come in relief in game three or four. Jordan, if I said to you, Max Scherzer has faced more batters over the past decade than any other major league pitcher. Okay, you might guess that. Who's number two, Jordan? Past 10 years, who has faced more major league batters than anyone in baseball?
I was thinking Aaron Nola, but you already told me I was wrong. So who is
that? That's right. The answer is Kyle Gibson.
Ooh.
Okay. Kyle Gibson, who has an ERA slightly below average for his career, has nevertheless made more starts than anyone over the past decade. He signed a one-year, $10 million contract with Baltimore last year, where, again, he filled that classic 150 to 200 inning start every fifth day, no matter what, pitch, okay, roll. That's really, really important for teams to have, because when you're missing that, you can't even afford to go high risk, high reward. You can only afford to go high risk reward when you know you're not falling apart at the back end or the middle of your rotation. It's very valuable. It's more valuable as injuries get more commonplace. I think he represents almost the exact line between where your star pitching drops off and what you have afterwards are question marks. I actually am not sure about your high risk, high reward strategy. I think if you want a question mark, you can go high risk, high reward, but you got to fill these kind of slots first. I say Kyle Gibson's going to be underrated, undervalued, and very valuable.
So I don't really agree. I think more and more young pitching is coming up and proving that they can throw it sort of a league average level. I think, again,
like who?
Teams,
like David Peterson for the Mets?
I think
like,
teams that are
like,
that are,
Nick Lodolo for the Reds. These guys are supposed to be a little bit better than average.
I believe in Nick Lodolo.
I do too, but he can't be your 2, 3, and 4 kind of guy.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Reds because we're going to get to them in a second. But I think that for these teams that are, again, budget strapped, you have to try to bank on more upside than that at a bargain price. And so two guys that I'm looking at, one, Hyunjin Ryu, okay, back from Tommy John surgery, pitched well in limited action last year and was unlucky. The Statcast numbers add up. I'm not quite sure what kind of a contract it's going to go for, but you know, he's in his mid to late 30s. He's not, you know, top of the market in a pretty deep pitching market. I think a team could swoop in there, maybe get him, you know, for $10 million a year ish, couple, you know, 2, 3 year contract. It's worth a shot. And man, I'm going to go to my grave banking on Luis Severino, but you know, it looks like he's going to have a change of scenery. Obviously, he was awful for the Yankees there, but we've seen demonstrated periods of brilliance from him. Obviously, he's had injury concerns, but again, if you're the cost is going to be low for a guy who has like number two starter upside. So you mentioned the Reds, and that's one of the two teams we want to dive into. That's a team that was on the cusp of the playoffs last year, has a great young lineup, clearly needs to add pitching. I think they need two starters, right? They've got a pretty good young group. Hunter Green is about to be a stud. They've got Nick Lodolo, Andrew Abbott, Graham Ashcroft. They need two real arms. So I think if you take a shot at a Severino or Ryu with one of those spots, and then you go for like a Kyle Gibson, or maybe you find a way to bring back Sonny Gray or someone like that. The Marlins have a real chance to vault to the front of that division. Not the Marlins. We'll get to the Marlins in a second. The Reds.
Yeah.
With the right pitching additions. Are you with me on that? And who would you target for them?
I would target pitchers who are reliable, even if they are injury risks, reliable when they show up, like Kenta Maeda, who's been great whenever he's been on the mound. He just missed a bunch of starts last year. His stats are a lot better than they seem because he had one horrible game, the game where he got hurt against the Yankees last year. Other than that, he pitched great. Somebody like Nick Martinez, all his stats are trending in the right direction. He just has to pitch more innings. I think he's a good bet to do that. I like Gibson for somebody like the Reds. You got to remember, Severino hasn't pitched more than 102 innings since 2018. So you need some innings eaters. I like maybe somebody like Michael Wacha, somebody like that, somebody who can, guys who can fill out that the end of that rotation, and then the Reds would be a real contender. They hit an awful lot of doubles and triples.
Yeah, so watch their moves and watch the future bets on them, because you can, if they get a guy or two like that, they're a nice bet to win the division, maybe even a long shot bet to win the NL. Speaking of a long shot bet to win the NL, a favorite of ours the last 2 years has been the Marlins. Real quick before we move to the NFL, Peter, the Marlins are the polar opposite of the Reds. They've got pitching. They need offense. Give me a couple guys who can help them and lift them to playoff contention.
Well, Mitch Garver is the best catcher on the market, but he is always hurt. And I would suggest the Marlins take a look at Gary Sanchez. I mean,
oh my God, you can't be serious. The Gary Sanchez?
Jordan, last year, Nick Fortes, 562 OPS. Jacob Stallings, 565 OPS. These are the guys who the Marlins had behind the plate. They were the second worst team in the league in catching. They need someone like a Garver or a Sanchez. Sanchez is good on defense, still has the power. Not a bad idea. The Marlins also need, they move a lot of guys around the infield. They need guys who can hit lefties. Ahmed Rosario's out there. The one thing he can do no matter what is hit lefties really well. I'd suggest that. And then one other thing I want to mention is, you know, you have Josh Hader, Jordan Hicks. People are going to spend a teams are going to spend a lot of money on those guys. Keep an eye on Ronaldo Lopez. He's the most successful of the go to the bullpen, develop one pitch really well. I don't think he's going to be expensive, but I think he'll be a high quality strikeout middle inning reliever who can you could work up to higher leverage if you're looking for bullpen help.
Well, we want to hear from you on this topic in the comments, either on our YouTube page or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Let us know what under the radar underdog MLB free agents are you interested in teams chasing? And are you like me? Do you enjoy this time of year arguably more than the season itself? I'm curious. So let us know what you're thinking, and we'll be back with our NFL picks after this.
Underdog. Underdog.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Underdog. Underdog.
We are back with the Underdogs Underdogs contest for week 11. We're coming off another strong week. Last week, Mike Golic winning outright with the Ravens over the Browns, Mike Golic Jr., I should say, and barely missing on the Packers and Steelers. I won outright with the Texans over the Bengals for full 3 points, and the Panthers covered against the Bears.
All right. So you're going to admit that you've been a little lucky with the Texans this whole season, since they drafted a guy who's maybe going to be he's the likeliest rookie to be MVP as a quarterback in, I believe, 40 years. So that's a little, I don't know. I don't know if we credit you with seeing that coming, Jordan.
Hold on. Lucky. First of all, I did call the Texans as my biggest surprise team in May, beating their over under 5.5. They're already at 5 wins. Second of all, I don't know what luck had to do. We've seen CJ Stroud play. The line was still 7 last week, and I picked them, and they won. So, and you got a win with Sarah filling in for you last week. The Broncos winning outright against the Bills. It was only Sarah's pick of the Giants that fell through for you. But yeah, well, let's see if she can do it again as we head into week 11. The standings are as follows: the team Sarah and the guests have 20.5 points.
Oh, that's outrageous! We're being beaten by everybody.
Yeah, I've moved up to 18.5, and Peter, you are lagging behind 17.5. Let's see if you could do something about that. We'll go quickly through our picks this week. Real quick, it's a bigger board. Let's just let everybody know who we have the option of taking. Okay, you've got the Bengals getting 4 at the Ravens on Thursday night. The Cowboys are getting 10.5 at the Panthers. The Raiders are getting 12.5 at the Dolphins. The Bears are getting 9 at the Lions. The Cardinals +4 at the Texans. The Giants are getting 9.5 at the Commanders. Titans +6.5 at the Jaguars. The Chargers -3 at the Packers, Bucks +11.5 at the 49ers, the Jets +7 at the Bills, and the Eagles are on the board getting +3 at the Chiefs. So those are all the games with a spread of +3 or more. And with everything to choose from, with the first pick, I'm going back to the well with the Panthers getting 10.5 points. They finally covered for the first time all season, so why not go back to them again? But there are a couple of good reasons, I think. First of all, home dogs of 10 or more are 72-51. That's almost 59% against the spread over the past two decades. Also, I believe in sort of a zigzag theory of football. The Cowboys with Dak Prescott, a quarterback, after winning in a blowout the previous week by 21 or more points, they're just 6-10 against the spread the following week. So J.C. Horn is coming back for the Panthers. I think he'll do a decent job on CeeDee Lamb. I like a home team getting this big a spread at this point in the season. So give me the Panthers. And I believe Peter is picking second this week.
I wouldn't argue with that. The numbers, I think, would support that. since they're off the board, I will say give me the Jets plus 7 at Buffalo. Look, a touchdown difference between these two teams, I'm not sure that's a gap that's supported by any analysis right now. Buffalo has had, but Buffalo's on the team of, yeah, everyone wants to say Buffalo's on the brink of falling apart. Well, they actually might be. They just fired Ken Dorsey, their offensive coordinator, and I'm not sure their turnover problems are just a result of luck. Josh Allen had two more interceptions last week. One was a result of a drop pass by Gabe Davis, who's dropped four passes in that game. Not sure they have established who is a shorthanded second receiver on that. Josh Allen also lost a fumble. Buffalo committed three fumbles. They got one of them back, but it hasn't all been bad luck for Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo gave up, had four turnovers last week that Denver only turned into 6 points. I think the Jets are a lot more opportunistic than that. The money is on the Jets, both the bets and the total take. So both of these teams are desperate. The difference is the Jets have a feeling they could win if they got a couple of breaks. Buffalo's terribly concerned that they might just lose and collapse their whole season. Give me the Jets plus 7.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to whether you think Zach Wilson can keep them in the game or whether you think the Bills' defensive injuries still aren't being fully accounted for. I lean toward the latter. I'm with you on this one. Sarah, you're up with back-to-back picks.
Okay. For my first pick, I'm going to go with, as much as I hate picking this team, I'm going to go with the Eagles plus 3 at the Chiefs. My reasoning is, of course, because of Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift not only is dating Travis Kelce, but she's a huge Eagles fan. Like, she grew up in Pennsylvania. She's a big Philadelphia Eagles fan, supposedly. But so she is on tour right now in South America. She has a concert Sunday night in Brazil. This game is Monday night. I think she's going to make the turnaround. She's going to be at the game. And her and Travis are due for a loss together. And she's going to secretly be rooting for the Eagles. So I'm taking the Eagles over the Chiefs in their revenge game. For my second pick, I'm going to keep my theme going.
No.
And, of course, people are going to stop listening at this point. I'm taking the Giants.
You know they're still starting Tommy DeVito, right? Oh. You have to be able to score
a
point.
You know who has the most touchdowns for the Giants, touchdown passes for the Giants? Tommy DeVito. You know who hasn't won a game? 10 points? The Commanders. And the Giants defense. They had a three-game stretch. I believe it was against the Jets, the Bills, and the Commanders, where they only allowed 34 points. If the Giants defense can get back to that and pretend that last week didn't happen, I absolutely think that the Giants can come within 10 points of this, of the Commanders.
Did you get a confidential?
You're getting 9.5, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yes. 9.5.
Did you get a confidential email from one of your Giants sources saying they're going to the Wildcat and Saquon for this whole game? Is it something we don't know?
No, but like I said, Tommy DeVito, most touchdowns of any Giants quarterback this season. So
this is just painful. All right, Peter, bring us back to the world of reality. You got
all right.
Pick.
It could be for the last time this season because I keep saying the same thing about them, but I'm going to take the Bears again, plus 9.
I'm getting laughed at for taking the Giants and you're taking the Bears.
Every week I say something like, well, the Bears had the worst, unluckiest loss of the week. Well, they managed to win last week, but it was still one of the unluckiest games in the league. Again, a 79-yard punt return for a touchdown against them. They're not as bad as they have looked. Detroit is significantly better than they have looked. These teams, you know, there's a four-win gap between these games in real life, but the Bears are more like a 3.7-win team. The Bears are more like a 5.2-win team. This is a huge gap. 26% of bets are on the Bears, but 78% of total money is on the Bears. The bettors know something. This is a big gap. These two teams are closer than they look. And it's probably a look-ahead game a little bit for Detroit, too. Give me the Bears plus nine.
Plus nine. All right. I love the way Detroit looks right now. That's all I'm going to say.
Look, Pittsburgh and Cleveland were right there, but they're off the board because Deshaun Watson's hurt. So I can't take my Mike Tomlin underdog pick. I'm going to take my unlucky Bears pick.
Well, speaking of going back to the well and speaking of taking a coach as an underdog, I'm going to do this one more time. And I don't have a ton of faith anymore that this is holding up because of the current makeup of this team. But I'm going to take the Titans plus 6.5 at the Jaguars. We've mentioned this time and again, but Mike Vrabel is great as an underdog. 23-12-1, covering by an average of 4.9 points per game per the amazing tools on the Action Network's Bet Labs. If you haven't used it, check it out. As a division dog of three or more, he's 6-2. We've also mentioned earlier in the season, I said, you know, there's a lot of craziness that happens in these AFC South games. And sure enough, road dogs of three or more in the AFC South since 2019, 19-7 against the spread. So there's something weird going on in that division when teams face each other. Now look, Will Levis introduces more uncertainty. This isn't a vintage Titans team, but 6.5 is a big number. It also opens me up to the extra point if they win outright. So strategically, I am taking the Titans plus 6.5. What, it's that brilliant that I've led you to silence, Peter?
I think that if you like straight up point differential adjusted however you want for schedule strength, these two teams are much closer than they appear in the standings. I think this whole division is up for the grabs. I can't really argue against picking an underdog in any game between any two teams in this division. So yes, go for it. They would have been next on my board. Yeah.
Can't ever argue against an underdog because that's what we do here at the Underdogs Podcast.
Oh, I can argue against the Giants all day long, but we don't have time for that.
Well, and do you think Sarah's crazy? Do you think Sarah's crazy? Hit her up on
Twitter.
Can
I add one more stat? The Giants are 7-2-1. The Giants are 7-2-1 in their last 10 meetings against the Commanders.
They didn't have Tommy DeVito at quarterback in those 10 meetings.
I was gonna say they're 0-0-0 with Tommy DeVito against the Commanders.
What do they have? One win with Daniel Jones this season? Come on.
Sarah, what's your Twitter handle again?
At Sarah McCrory. Sorry. There's two H's in Sarah. So Sarah H. McCrory.
At Sarah H. McCrory, let her know how crazy she is to keep back in the Giants. Let us know what you think at Jordan Brenner, at Peter Keating NJ. That's NJ like New Jersey, not Michael Jordan. We want to hear from you. Leave a comment, leave a rating, subscribe, and we'll be back with you next week for a little bit of special Thanksgiving underdogs as Peter extols the virtues of green bean casserole.
We'll do turkeys on purpose.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.